They must have understood me. The away weather hits.
Welcome to Learning English, a daily 30-minute program from the Voice of America. I'm Jonathan Evans.
And I'm Ashley Thompson. This program is aimed at English learners. So we speak a little slower, and we use words and phrases, especially written, for people learning English.
Today on the program, you will hear from Susan Shand, John Russell, and Brian Lynn. Later, we will present our American history series, The Making of a Nation. But first, here is Susan Shand.
Police in Myanmar announced their first charge against the country's ousted leader, Aung San Suu Kyi. Members of her political party said Wednesday. The military removed Suu Kyi from office in an overthrow Monday and restricted her to her home. Suu Kyi is charged with possession of illegally imported radio devices called walkie-talkies. The military declared a one-year emergency rule after the overthrow. It accused Suu Kyi's government of not investigating reports of wrongdoing in recent elections. Suu Kyi's National League for Democracy, NLD, had won the election easily, with the military-backed party receiving little support. NLD spokesman Chi To confirmed the charge against Suu Kyi. If found guilty, she could face up to 3 years in prison. Chi To also said the country's former president, Win Myint, was charged with violating Myanmar's natural disaster management law. Both politicians can reportedly be detained until February 15th. It was clear that the military were going to look for some legal cases against the leaders of the National League for Democracy, and especially Aung San Suu Kyi, to actually legitimize what they've tried to do, said Larry Jagan. He is an independent expert on Myanmar politics. Police and court officials in the capital could not immediately be reached. Also Wednesday, an unidentified NLD lawmaker told the Associated Press that hundreds of members of the ousted parliament are under order to leave the capital within 24 hours. The lawmakers had been detained in government housing since the overthrow. The NLD has repeatedly called for nonviolent resistance since the overthrow. Suu Kyi is a Nobel Peace Prize winner and former political prisoner. The military rulers of Myanmar detained her for about 20 years as she pushed for democratic reform in Myanmar. After her political party won elections in 2015, she became the country's leader. Suu Kyi worked with the generals who kept considerable governing power as democracy was established in the country. She received severe international criticism after she defended the military's campaign against Rohingya Muslims beginning in 2017. The United States has threatened Myanmar with sanctions in reaction to the overthrow. The United Nations Security Council held an emergency meeting about the issue Tuesday. Foreign ministers of the group of seven leading industrial nations released a statement Wednesday calling for the release of Suu Kyi and others. It also demanded that rule of Myanmar be returned to the democratically elected government. General Min Aung Hlaing led the overthrow and declared himself Myanmar's new leader. On Tuesday, he said his government plans to investigate charges of voter wrongdoing in last year's elections, reported the state-run newspaper Global New Light of Myanmar. The country's election officials had found no major problems with the vote. Experts have said that the strong NLD election victory may have frightened the generals. General Min Aung Hlaing also said that COVID-19 containment measures taken by Suu Kyi's government would be continued. However, medical workers have announced that they will not work for the new military government. Myanmar has confirmed more than 140,600 cases, including some 3,100 deaths. Its healthcare system is one of the least developed in Asia, the United Nations says. I'm Susan Shand.
Complete list of nominations for the 78th Golden Globe Awards was announced on Wednesday. This year's list surprised many critics who wondered about many of the nominations. The Hollywood Foreign Press Association, the group that makes the nominations, appeared to make some unusual choices for a very strange year. U.S. theaters have been closed much of the year because of the COVID-19 health crisis. This year, nominations were announced before all of the movies have been released. Some of the nominated movies and performances are not yet available to the U.S. public. At least one critic said this year's Globe nominations tested our understanding of what exactly a film is. Steve McQueen's Small Axe film series was nominated in a television category. At the same time, the filmed version of the Broadway play Hamilton on Disney Plus was eligible in the film groups and got two nominations. In another surprise, director Spike Lee and his highly praised film Da Five Bloods failed to be nominated. The Best Motion Picture Drama nominees include The Father, directed by Florian Zeller, Mank, directed by David Fincher, Nomadland, directed by Chloe Zhao, The Trial of the Chicago Seven, directed by Aaron Sorkin, and Promising Young Woman, directed by Emerald Fennell. Best Foreign Language Film nominees include Another Round, La Llorona, The Life Ahead, Minari, and Two of Us. The awards will be held on both of America's coasts for the first time, the Hollywood Foreign Press Association said. Tina Fey will appear live in New York, and Amy Poehler will appear in California. The event has already been delayed by about 2 months. It is set to take place on February 28th. Fey and Poehler hosted the Globes together before. This time, they will do so from either side of the country. Fey will host from New York's Rainbow Room, while Poehler will be at the Globe's usual home, the Beverly Hilton Hotel in Beverly Hills, California. Nominees will likely appear from places around the world. I'm John Russell.
A Hong Kong-based robotics company says it plans to mass-produce thousands of humanoid robots in 2021. Hanson Robotics says four different humanoid models will start leaving factories during the first half of the year. One of the four is a robot named Sophia, which has received worldwide attention in recent years for looking and speaking in a very human-like way. The company's founder and CEO, David Hanson, told Reuters the COVID-19 pandemic has increased demand for robots designed to assist and engage with humans. The world of COVID-19 is going to need more and more automation to keep people safe. He noted that in the past, many of the company's robots were built by hand. But now, Hanson Robotics is beginning to expand its manufacturing operations. Hanson said there are currently 24 models of Sophia, which will be used as a basis for creating many other kinds of models. While not providing an exact number, Hanson said the company aims to sell thousands of robots by the end of 2021. The company says it plans to market its humanoid robots as helpful assistants in the healthcare field. For example, they can be used to take temperature readings to identify possible sickness or perform physical exercises with older people. Such social robots are powered by machine learning methods and artificial intelligence. They use cameras and sensors to recognize human faces and activities. The robots are built with tools to help them develop their own form of social and emotional intelligence over time. During a demonstration at the company's lab, one of the Sophia models identified some of the activities it could assist humans with.
Social robots like me can help take care of the sick or elderly in many kinds of healthcare and medical uses.
Hanson said he believes robotic solutions to the pandemic are not limited to healthcare. He said the company's robots are so human-like, they could also serve the public in retail settings or in the airline industry. The humanoids can be so useful during these times where people are terribly lonely and socially isolated, Hanson said.
I can help communicate, give therapy, and provide social stimulation, even in difficult situations.
Johan Horn is a social robotics professor at Hong Kong's Polytechnic University. His research has included work on Sophia. He said that although the technology is still developing, the pandemic could speed up relationships between robots and humans. I can infer the pandemic will actually help us get robots earlier in the market because people will start to realize that there is no other way, Horn said. Products from other major developers in the industry are helping fight the pandemic as well. SoftBank Robotics' humanoid robot Pepper was deployed in Europe to identify people who were not wearing face coverings. In China, robotics company CloudMines helped set up a robot-run field hospital for COVID-19 patients in Wuhan. The use of robots was already on the rise before the pandemic. The International Federation of Robotics said in a report last year that worldwide sales of professional service robots had jumped 32% between 2018 and 2019. I'm Brian Lynn.
To help protect yourself against the new coronavirus, wash your hands for 20 seconds with soap and water before you eat, after using the toilet, and after touching anything many other people touch, like a seat on a public bus. If you cannot wash your hands with soap and water, use an alcohol-based hand sanitizer that contains at least 60% alcohol. Taking these steps can help prevent not only the new coronavirus disease, but also colds, flu, and other viruses. For more information, visit the following websites: the World Health Organization at www.who.int or the Centers for Disease Control and Prevention at www.cdc.gov.
Welcome to The Making of a Nation, American History in VOA Special English. The election of Herbert Hoover in 1928 made Americans more hopeful than ever about their future. Hoover seemed to have just the right experience to lead the nation to more economic progress. He was an engineer and businessman who had served in the government as Commerce Secretary. He understood economics and had faith in the future of private business. On a rainy day in March of 1929, Hoover rode down Pennsylvania Avenue in Washington to become the new president. "I have no fears for the future of our country," he told the cheering crowd. "It is bright with hope." Faith Lapidus and Bob Doty tell more about the Republican administration of Herbert Hoover.
The clearest evidence of the public's faith in the economy is the stock market. And the New York Stock Exchange reacted to the new president with a wild increase in prices. During the months after Hoover's election, prices generally rose like a rocket. Stocks valued at $100 climbed to $200, then $300, $400. Men and women made huge amounts of money overnight. Publications and economic experts advised Americans to buy stocks before prices went even higher. Time and again, people heard how rich they could become if they found and bought stocks for companies growing into industrial giants. "Never sell the United States short," said one publication. Another just said, "Everybody ought to be rich."
A number of economic experts worried about the sharp increase in stock prices that followed Hoover's election. The president himself urged stock market officials to make trading more honest and safe. And he approved a move by the Federal Reserve Board to increase the interest charged to banks. However, both efforts failed to stop the growing number of Americans who were spending their money wildly on stocks. Some experts pointed to danger signs in the economy during the summer of 1929. The number of houses being built was dropping. Industries were reducing the amount of products that they held in their factories. The rate of growth in spending by average Americans was falling sharply. and industrial production, employment, and prices were down. These experts warned that the American economy was just not strong enough to support such rapid growth in stock prices. They said there was no real value behind many of the high prices. They said a stock price could not increase 4 times while a company's sales stayed the same. They said the high prices were built on foolish dreams of wealth, not real value.
But the prices went still higher. Buyers fought with each other to pay more and more for company stocks. The average price of all stocks almost doubled in just 1 year. It seemed everybody was buying stocks, even people with little money or economic training. A clothing salesman got advice from a stock trader visiting his store and made $200,000. A nurse learned of a good company from someone in the hospital. She made $30,000. There were thousands of such stories. By early September, the stock market reached its high point of the past 18 months. Shares of the Westinghouse Company had climbed from $91 to $313. The Anaconda Copper Company had risen from $54 to $162. Union Carbide jumped from $145 to $413. Life was like a dream, but like any dream, it could not last forever.
In September 1929, stock prices stopped rising. During the next month and a half, stock prices fell, but only slowly. Then, suddenly, at the end of October, the market crashed. Prices dropped wildly. Leading stocks fell $5, $10, $20 in a single day. Everyone tried to sell their stocks, but no one was buying. Fear washed across the stock market. People were losing money even faster than they had made it.
The stock market collapsed on Thursday, October 24th, 1929. People remember the day as Black Thursday, the day the dreams ended. The day began with a wave of selling. People from across the country sent messages to their stock traders in New York. All the messages said the same thing. Sell! Sell the stocks at any price possible! But no one was buying, and so down the prices came. The value of stock for the Montgomery Ward store dropped from $83 to $50 in a single day. The RCA Radio Corporation fell from $68 to $44, down $24 in just a few hours. Down the stocks fell, lower and lower. Several of the country's leading bankers met to discuss ways to stop the disaster. They agreed to buy stocks in large amounts to stop the wave of selling. The bankers moved quickly, and for 2 days, prices held steady. But then, like snow falling down the side of a mountain, the stocks dropped again. Prices went to amazingly low levels. One business newspaper said simply, the present week has witnessed the greatest stock market disaster of all time.
The stock market crash ruined thousands of Americans. In a few short weeks, traders lost $30 billion, an amount almost as great as all the money the United States had spent in World War I. Some businessmen could not accept what had happened. They jumped from the tops of buildings and killed themselves. In fact, one popular joke of the time said that hotel owners had to ask people if they wanted rooms for sleeping or jumping. But the stock market crash was nothing to laugh about. It destroyed much of the money that Americans had saved. Even worse, it caused millions of people to worry and lose faith in the economy. They were not sure what to expect tomorrow. Business owners would not spend money for new factories or business operations. Instead, they decided to wait and see what would happen. This reduced production and caused more workers to lose their jobs. Fewer workers meant fewer people with money to buy goods. And fewer people buying goods meant less need for factories to produce. So it went. In short, economic disaster.
Why did the stock market crash? One reason, people had been paying too much for stocks. Everyone believed that prices would go higher and higher forever. People paid more for stocks than the stocks were worth. They hoped to sell the stocks at even higher prices. It was like a children's balloon that expands with air, blowing bigger and bigger until it bursts. But there were other important reasons. Industrial profits were too high and wages too low. 5% of the population owned one-third of all personal income. The average worker simply did not have enough money to buy enough of all the new goods that factories were producing. Another problem was that companies were not investing enough money in new factories and supplies. There were also problems with the rules of the stock market itself. People were allowed to buy stocks when they did not have the money to do so.
Several government economic policies also helped cause the stock market crash of 1929. Government tax policies made the rich richer and the poor poorer. And the government did little to control the national money supply, even when the economy faced disaster. The stock market crash marked the beginning of the Great Depression, a long, slow, painful fall to the worst economic crisis in American history. The Depression would bring suffering to millions of people. It would cause major political changes, and it would be a major force in creating the conditions that led to World War II.
And that's our program for today. Listen again tomorrow to learn English through stories from around the world. I'm Jonathan Evans.
And I'm Ashley Thompson.